So there's a major dispute, machlokes, between the Rambam and the Ramban, Maimonides and Nachmanides, regarding tefillah, regarding prayer. The Rambam writes, mitzvahs aseh b'chol yom, there's a positive mitzvah every day of the year in order to daven, to mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Maimonides shita. There seems to be a daily biblical mitzvah to pray to God. That's the opinion of Maimonides. The Ramban, actually this week's parsha, or this past week's parsha, Bahaloscha, on the pasuk about when the Jewish people went out to war, and one of the things they did was a chatzosaros. So the Ramban discusses, he thinks that tefillah, generally speaking, there is no biblical mandate to pray every day, but the eighth surah, during a time of need, so then there's a biblical obligation, i.e. a war, a famine. So at first glance, it seems to be a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether one has a biblical obligation to pray daily. Rambam, yes. Ramban, no. However, Rav Soloveitchik wants to localize the machlokes. He doesn't think it's a fundamental machlokes. It's a more local machlokes, as I'll explain. Rav Soloveitchik's opinion is, and I don't think just, I think that it came from also his, you know, his father, grandfather from the Soloveitchik dynasty, that really everybody agrees, even the Rambam, that what is the essence of tefillah is bakashas rachamim. You have a need. You have an Esara, you have a time. In other words, if you don't have it, the purpose of davening is you have a need and you're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you. Like, for instance, they say, that was the curse of the Nachash. That was the curse the Nachash got. That what? That the Torah says, after he caused Adam and Chava to sin, whatever happened there. So it says, he was apparently, whatever it means, the Nachash used to stand up like humans. Maybe he spoke, I don't know. But now his punishment was he's going to go lie on his belly the whole day. He's going to have to drag along the ground. They'd be a little scary if they stood up, but they're scary enough on the ground. But either way, that was... So what's the punishment? B'zeyas up, that he's going to eat off the dirt of the ground. So the question is, what kind of curse is that? In other words, he has, imagine someone, you know what? He has, you pick the number, $1 million, $10 million. Everyone has a different number, a retirement number. I'll let you pick your own number. Here's your number, that's it. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to dive into me. Tell me what you, and that's the, so on one hand, people, that's great. On the other hand, Chazal is telling us that's the biggest kola, because that means you're going to think, the erroneous, and that you don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kochi v'yotzem yadi, that the whole essence is tefillah. Tefillah is a human need. We want, it's a good thing to be able to pray to God. You know, whether you're asking for something, or whether it's shavach, bakasha, or hodah, that's the essence of a human being, that you get to, you get free therapy every day. You speak to God as your therapist, or however you want to view it. But the bottom line is, it's, the Rav Soloveitchik points out, everyone agrees the ikar of tefillah is b'yesara, when you have a need. It's a local debate how you define, how liberal or how narrow you want to define esara. So the Ramban takes a very narrow view. What do you mean esara? There's a war, there's a famine, there's an infectious disease. You know, what we call more emergency measures. That's how the Ramban seems to define it, more externally. And the Rambam takes a more internal definition. Human beings, by definition, the frailty of life. We're here now, we're gone the next minute. We're healthy, we're not healthy. We're good until we're not. The whole existence of human beings is very precarious. We have no guarantees. So therefore, we're constantly in an Esara. We're constantly in a time of need. And therefore, everyone agrees that that's the key is Bakashas Rachamim, that we dive into God, we make requests, that you need a time of need to be biblically mandated. The Holy Machlokas is everyday life a mandate? The frailty of the human being? Or that's not enough. We need more than just a regular everyday life. You need a special situation, i.e. war, famine, etc., hanging around to cause you. So that's the way Rav Salavitcher, let me just point out, as Rav Salavitcher points out and others. So you're telling me, according to the Ramban, if I pray to God, I don't get a mitzvah in Atah. Let's assume you learn like, let's assume I'm praying not be a Sarah. Let's assume not like Rav Salavitcher. That basically the Ramban Shita is, it's only Daraisa when it's a time of, so according to the Ramban, if it's everyday life, I pray today, so it's not a biblical, it's like I'm not talking to God, it's really a fake out, no, of course not. Of course, even the Ramban would agree that any day you speak to God, you get a mitzvah. Mitzvah aseh b'chol, he agrees. It's a technical debate. According to the Rambam, it's mandated. According to the Ramban, it's optional. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. Again, midrabanan, we don't have a choice. We have to pray three times a day. But min haTorah, so the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban is, am I mandated to pray every day biblically? According to the Rambam, yes, the frailty of human life. According to the Ramban, there's no biblical obligation on a daily basis. However, he agrees, if you do, it's a key in mitzvah deraisa, like the famous Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon writes regarding the mitzvah of achilas matzah, let's say, during Chol Hamoed, everyone agrees, Leil Seder, you have a chi of deraisa, di matzah. The Shai is, what about the rest of Pesach? Because on one end, the Pasuk says, Shiva Yomim Tochal Matzos. You should eat matzah for 7 days. On the other end, the Pasuk says, Ba'erev Tochu Matzos. You eat matzah at night, the first night. So which one is it? So the Vilna Gaon, among others, point out that the Chiyav is every night. The Chiyav is the first night. But if you eat matzah any time over Pesach, you get a Kiyam HaMitzvah. You get, in other words, it's a concept where I'm not obligated to do something, but if I do it, I get a Kiyam Min HaTorah. I get a, so too, that's what the Ramban's saying by Tefillah. And, you know, on one hand, it makes sense. Like, one could argue, why should I have to be obligated? On my own, I should come to Davin and God, but anyway, whatever you want to get into the Makshava, that's how they give the Gedorim, that it's according to the Rambam, every day is biblically mandated. According to the Ramban, you're not biblically mandated every day, but if you do it, you get a Kiyam Daraisa. But all agree, be a Sarah, you get a Kiyam Daraisa, you're biblically mandated, and debate is how far do we go, what's considered a time of need and what isn't. That's the basic debate between the Rambam and the Ramban regarding whether Tefillah is Doraisa or Drabana, not Be'esara. So we know regarding the mitzvah of Tefillah, in addition, we call davening, we say colloquial, we're going to daven. Or as they say in Yiddish, up daven, which means some people daven, say up daven, you just mumble the words. Some people learn, some people up learn, whatever they say in Yiddish. But either way, the bottom line is that we know we have a mitzvah to daven, but when in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Chazal, when we talk about tefillah, we're not referring to the brachas, Baruch Shema, we're talking about Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei in halacha is known as tefillah. So that's what we're talking about, Api Halacha. So in addition to our own personal tefillah, i.e. Shmoneh Esrei, even though it's 19 brachas today, but we still call it Shmoneh Esrei, we added an extra bracha. Yes. So Chazal talk about the concept of Chazaras Hashatz, that if one is in a minyan, so clearly if you're davening by yourself, they never instituted a Chazaras Hashatz. But if you're davening B'tzibor, if you're davening with a minyan, so we see sometimes Chazal instituted that one, that the Shliach Tzibor, in addition to davening his still or his silent Shmona Esrei, like everyone else, he's mandated to daven a Shmona Esrei, you know, as the Shliach Tzibor, the Chazaras Hashatz. So we see, what is the nature of this din? Where did this come about? Why was, or, you know, and if, even if the reason doesn't apply, do we still do it today? So there's a Gemara in the end of Rosh Hashanah, which has a debate, actually. Who is Chazaras Hashatz for? What was the motivation behind the Takana? So the opinion we follow is it's for the Eino Bucky. That yes. Everyone has a mitzvah of tefillah. However, unfortunately, not everyone knows how to daven. I guess we're talking about also pre-prayer books, when everything was done by heart. But I guess today you can read your English. But we're talking about the original institution was, it was everything was by heart. So obviously, if you knew Hebrew, like, how does it mean I can know Hebrew and not know Shmona Esrei by heart? Assuming you even knew Hebrew. There are a lot of things going on. So they instituted for those. So Eino Bucky doesn't mean you just can't read. I guess you didn't know Shmona Esrei by heart. So, or the rest of davening, whatever Eino Bucky means. But let's assume you can't daven up by yourself, whatever that means. Either I have a book, I can't read it, I don't have it, whatever. It's still, you're an Eino Bucky regardless. Mm-hmm. So Chazal instituted, it's a debate in the Gemara, we assume. So one opinion is it was instituted for everybody. Even if you're a buck, it was, some say it was like for the Am Shabbosados, that maybe, as we'll see, maybe you're doing it for people who aren't even in shul. But there ain't no bucky. We assume you do it for the one who comes to shul, doesn't know how to daven, so at least he's not sitting there staring at the walls, which he might be doing anyway, but he gets to listen to the Shmona Esrei, to the Chazaras Hashatz. So that's the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Chazaras Hashatz is for the Eino Bucky. So the question is, what about Bizman Hazeth? So I understand the original institution, you know, before we had Siddurim, or even after Siddurim, but people just don't know how to read Hebrew, they don't know read English either, they couldn't read, whatever the case may be. They weren't as educated as we are today. So let's assume Bizman Hazeh, you go to a shul where everyone's a bucky. Everyone could daven on their own. So would you still do Chazaras Hashatz or not? Or should you do Chazaras Hashatz? If you go to a yeshiva, I don't mean about tshuva yeshiva, let's assume you go to Lakewood. I'm assuming they know how to daven there. So do they do Chazaras Hashatz there? You go to you have a minyan of retired Rabbanim, whatever the case may be. You have a Gedolim convention, all the Gedolim are davening. Whichever Hechatzimsa you want to use. The question is a situation where there's no need, there is no Eino Buckies around. So the child is, do we still do Chazaras Hashatz? That wasn't the question asked to me. That was the question asked to the Rambam in the Pierre, in his Tshuva Sefer. That's not where he was asked, but that's where he wrote it down. Jeff, you have a question.
I was thinking, even whatever the reason was, when it becomes a minhag, such a strong minhag, and keep it for that reason, something like
that. Yeah, so the Rambam writes, so he says, Einachinami, number one, that could have been the motivation behind doing it,
yes.
But the motivation doesn't make, the motivation of Chazal doesn't make a difference. Once they set it up as a takana, so then the reason applies no matter what. In other words, it could have been that could have been the motivation, that, you know what, do it because of the Eino Bucky. But doesn't mean that was a takana, apparently, according to the Rambam, at least this Rambam, there might be a steer in the Rambam, but at least according to this Rambam I'm quoting you, he says that that was a takana, and that's it. Once you have a takana, we can't change it. And therefore, Yein Hachinami, maybe the original motivation no longer applies, but that's irrelevant. Once Chazal instituted it, maybe they never would have instituted Chazaras Hashas if we had Bekiyim. But the fact we have Bekiyim now doesn't change. They made it a takana for all times. So it could be maybe people were embarrassed. How do you know who's an Einu Baki? Maybe people are really Einu Baki. We're not going to. But raise your hands if you're an Einu Baki, so we know. So you know, and also maybe, and let's say these 20 years you have Bekiyim, let's say 20 years from now you have an Einu Baki. So now you're going to go back. So maybe, you know, whatever the many factors going in keep on changing a takana. So he said that was it. The takana was to have Chazaras Hashatz, and that's it. Even though maybe the reason, even though the motivation for the reason. And what does he give an example, the Rambam? He gives in his tshuva, he said, you know what? You know what it's similar to?
Wearing tzitzis, I would guess. Wearing a talus cotton.
He doesn't say that, but we could discuss if that would be...
No, I thought of that.
Huh? That's not what the Rambam writes. The discussion is, he said, you know, it's comparable to Kiddush Leil Shabbos Beveis HaKnesses. We'll see, different shuls have minhagim, some do, some don't. Yesh v'yesh. It's a Gemara in Arvei Psachim, it's not a new shayla, but since it's a discussion in the Gemara, but so some say the reason why we make Kiddush in shul, because if we pass Gnidi Kiddush b'makom suda, that's what the Gemara talks about. Back in the day, the poor people ate in the shul. Was Kiddush b'makom suda?
Yes.
So there's a discussion anyway. So the Rambam points out that even though today we no longer have aniyim living in the shul, but that was the motivation. The motivation for Kiddush in shul was that the people in shul could fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush. But once it was the takana, so even if there are no poor people in shul, we still make Kiddush in shul. That's what the Rambam writes in his Tshuva Sefer, that he compares Kiddush in shul Friday night to Chazaras Hashatz in davening daily, that the motivation, let's say it was the motivation to help people fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush or the mitzvah of tefillah. So even though the reason no longer applies, but it's irrelevant. They were made a takana. They didn't say, if they would have said, you know what, let's keep this custom going until we need, but you know, we never know anyway until someone tells us whether it, and there could be a debate whether it is a takana or not. That could be the debate in shuls, whether it actually was a takana or not, but the Rambam clearly states it was, and therefore the Rambam would say you make Kiddush in shul Friday night, just like he says we make, we do Chazaras Hashatz in davening. So clearly not everyone accepts this Rambam. What do I mean by that is, if everyone accepted this Rambam, that what I mean is, not everyone accepts the Rambam's comparison to Kiddush and Shul Leil Pesach. Why do I say that? Because all shuls I've been in, I haven't been to all shuls, but I think the accepted practice is to have Chazaras Hashatz. I've been to Europe, I've been to Israel, and they seem to have Chazaras Hashatz. Everyone seems to accept the, you know, whether it's the Rambam or not the Rambam, that we have Chazaras, but not all shuls make Kiddush Friday night. So clearly, they might agree with the Rambam by Chazaras Hashatz, but they don't necessarily agree. So it's Yesh V'Yesh. So what is the Machlokas by Friday night? So you could say that's the Machlokas. The Rambam held it was a Takana. It wasn't a Takana. it was that was his minhag. Whatever that the rabbi said in a situation where there are people in shul who have to hear kiddush, let's do it in shul. But they weren't telling everyone to do it. It wasn't a takana for Klal Yisrael. It was a hora shah, whatever you want to look at it. That's one way you could say no. Maybe you could say that's the machokas, whether it's a takana or not.
Yes.
Yeah. And in fact, I heard a very interesting, nice historical explanation. It seems to be also, by the way, a machokas machaber rama, Ashkenaz Svard. I shouldn't say Ashkenaz Svard, I should say Machaber Rama is Minhag Eretz Yisrael versus Minhag Chutz Laretz. That's how I think Reuven Margolis wants to say that. He makes an observation, apparently. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't make Kiddush in Shul for the Aniyim. There is no Kiddush in Shul Friday night. But in Chutz Laretz, there is. Not in all shuls, but, you know, different shuls. So he says, why, like, it's not a mitzvah satuyis ba'aretz, last I checked. Making kiddush isn't a mitzvah dependent on the land. So why would it make... I understand truma meiser, you're keeping in Israel, Shemitah. But what does kiddush Friday night have to do with Israel? So he says a very interesting shot. We could take it or leave it. But he says, you know, I'll tell you why, because the practice in Israel was they never had. Aniyim never slept in the shul. It could be also had to do with the Kedusha of the shul. It's a discussion of Beis HaKnesses in the shul, the Gemara Megillah. But it was only a minhag in Europe, in Chutz Laretz, where the setup was you had a lot of poor people, or people who didn't want to work, whatever the case might have been. And they used to go. They used to know, you come to the shul. I think it wasn't just limited on Shabbos. All week long, they used to come, and they used to go to the shul. So he has an interesting insight. You know, I like it. I can't confirm if it's true or not, but it sounds good to me. That in Eretz Yisrael, the Mechaber says, there is no Kiddush in shul because there never was a Takana there because it never existed. But in Chutz Laretz, and then if you could argue that, so maybe only in Europe the Takana was, you know. If you say, because if it's a takana, and you're saying it doesn't apply in Israel, so then who said it applies in America? But either way, that's why in America, yesh v'yesh, I guess some kept, even though in America, I don't think that was the practice. But I guess it depends if you learn it was a takana or not. But that's the debate regarding, and let me just point out, interesting, there are some opinions that there's some people, in America, there are some shuls that still make kiddush in shul, I'm guessing. But there are other shuls that even they used to make kiddush in shul, and then they stopped, they no longer make it in the past couple of years. What transpired in the past couple of years that they no longer make? Again, if you didn't make kiddush in shul, so you never did. But what's this meaning of people who did make, but now they stopped? So it's based on the following. What I'm talking about is COVID happened. COVID-19. I'm not sure if you're aware, there was an infectious disease spreading around, and even the shuls were closed for different times. And even when they were open, perhaps it was dangerous to give out wine or drink it, whatever. People didn't have food and shul, whatever you could discuss whether they were good, bad, or neutral with this being descriptive here. And therefore, let's say there was a time period where people didn't go to shul for a long time. Even when they went to shul, there was no food in shul, i.e. they didn't even make kiddush. Because what you usually do is you give it to the kids to drink, you give it to someone else, whatever the case may be. So some people maybe can, I don't know, maybe some people continue kiddush in shul. All I'm pointing out is, my point is as follows. If you hold like the Rambam, it was a takana, so it's irrelevant, that's it. You keep on making kiddush in shul. There's nothing to talk about. However, if you assume it wasn't a takana, it was just a minhag. The minhag doesn't make any sense today, but I'm keeping an old minhag. The reason doesn't apply, But the minhag Yisrael was to do it, so I'll do it b'Torah's minhag. I don't really want to do it, and maybe it's a shiloh of making a bracha levatol or not, but for a minhag you're allowed to. Like the Rav Moshe writes, let's say, minhag svar in Eretz Yisrael is on Ma'ariv, you don't say Baruch Hashem li'olam, you don't make the last bracha. We say Shom Emo Yisrael la'ad, and you go right into Kaddish. Minhag Ashkenaz, we say Baruch Hashem li'olam, we make a bracha at the end, then we say Kaddish. So Rav Moshe was asked, what happened if you're in minhag Ashkenaz shul, but you're svard, or your minhag is not to make that bracha? Are you allowed to make a bracha? Is it a bracha levatola? So I see some people did is they didn't say anything. They just paused for like a minute, and then they just started with Kaddish. You know, that's in theory, that avoids the problem, except maybe you're Porish, but not Sibor. But so Rav Moshe said, no, you should make the bracha. It's no problem. That's the minhag of the shul is to make a bracha. Then you're davening, you're the shliach sibor. I don't even. He might even say if you're not the shliach sibor. I'm not sure. Maybe if you're not the shliach sibor, you wouldn't need to because no one will know what you're saying. But the shul, I think, if you're the shliach sibor, I'm not sure. We have to.
I'm sorry. Making a bracha just because it's it's a minhag, isn't there a risk of bracha levatala?
Well, that's what they asked Rav Moshe.
Oh.
And Rav Moshe said, no. He said, since it's the minhag of the, you're davening for the Amid, you're davening for the shul. If there's a minhag in that shul to make a bracha, then you can make the bracha. That's what, I think Abaji Yosef has something similar as well. Yeah, that was the shayla. So we see how chumrah, how strict minhagim are.
Yes.
You even make a bracha. Yeah, so... So
not if I'm just a shilach at Sibur, if I'm just a private man davening in the shul, I must still do it because everybody around me is doing it.
Yes, I'm saying that's a further step, how far we take it. If you're davening for the Tzibur, it's obvious to everyone you skipped it. But if I'm davening by myself, I don't know, does anyone know if I said it or not? I don't know if you... Yeah, yes, I don't know if they will. So I'm saying, so yesh v'yesh. I can see why you might be allowed to, but maybe there's no need. If the whole issue is Porish v'not Sibor, what you do, what you're saying quietly, like if I'm davening Nusach Ashkenaz in my private Shmoneh Esrei, I don't think anyone knows. If I'm davening for the Amud, so I daven Nusach Svar because I want to prepare myself for the pitfalls coming up in the Chazaras Hashat. But if I'm davening by myself, I daven Ashkenaz. I'm not Polish. Like, how does anyone know what I'm doing? I'm davening Shmoneh Esrei the same way everyone else is. So I'm saying we could debate. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying is one can make a distinction between being a Shliach Sibor versus if you're just davening in the Minyan. Maybe that's not enough to make a bracha. Or maybe one could say, well, what's the difference? I could argue either way. I'm not saying that could be a point of debate. I'm saying it depends what he means. If you're saying it's the minhag amakam, I follow the minhag, so even if no one knows, I should follow the minhag. Or do I say, no, it's not to be porish minat sibor. It depends on what the reason is why you have to make the bracha. So I'm saying, so we could debate that point, whether it applies to everyone in shul also, or just to... And, you know, should you, you know, even if you can, should I get involved in a bracha of atol if there's no need to? And or the other thing I could say, it's not a, there's no discussion. If the minhag in the shul is to do it, so you just do it and that's it. You know, either way, I could argue either way. So getting back, what was I saying?
So they interrupted.
So I was saying is, Rav Moshe writes that even for a minhag, you can make a bracha if that's the minhag. So therefore, so too over here, so too in theory, if your minhag is not to make Kiddush Friday night, but if you're the Shliach Sibor, and the minhag of the shul is, then according to Rav Moshe, it's not a problem. In fact, it's a problem if you don't. I mean, again, if the shul has, if the gabbai gets up and makes kiddush in the shul, you know, it all depends on what the nature of whatever the meaning is, who says it, you know, who doesn't. But generally, that's what Rav Moshe writes, that you could, the point is you could even make a bracha, even if it's not your minig. But if it's the minig of the shul, you know, I think the Avaji Yosef discusses it. If a Svardi is davening for the Amud on Rosh Chodesh in an Ashkenaz shul, the minig Ashkenaz is to make a bracha. So I think he writes the same thing there. Again, so I don't know if the individuals have to make a bracha, but the one leading the, obviously, the one leading the tzibur has to. I think it's the same discussion there. So getting back here, so what happened was, so if you hold it's a minig, so some people claim it's man hazeh now, that in the past couple of years, that because of COVID, we stopped making kiddush in shul, so we no longer is a minig. In other words, if you assume it's a takana, so you make kiddush no matter what. If you assume it wasn't takana, but that was the minig, so there's a further debate, bizman hazeh, that whether it was 6 months, a year, whatever time, 2 years, the time you took off during COVID not to make kiddush in shul, so now you could say, well, there is no longer a minig in this shul. Even though the reason why you didn't say the motivation for not saying kiddush anymore was because of COVID, but that doesn't make a difference, because we're saying the original motivation didn't apply either. The original motivation for the minig is for the poor people in shul. But yes, even though when there were no longer people in shul, we still continued. Yes. And now we're saying the reverse argument. But now the minig developed because of COVID. You're not making, okay, so now I did, so therefore yesh v'yesh, even less people making kiddush in shul Friday night, because once the minig stopped making kiddush, so therefore we don't have to make kiddush anymore. So in Addis we used to make kiddush Friday night. I always daven in the early minyan, you know, so we do not make kiddush in the early minyan. So I'm not sure what they do in the late. I think they stopped doing it in the late minyan also, based on this svara. I assume that was the shita, that once.
Well,
it doesn't make a difference why. Once we stop making kiddush for a year or two, so we don't have to go back and make it. That's the svara, and therefore many shuls who which made kiddush out the minig, so they stopped making it because the minig no longer exists. So it's interesting. We see how it works. The motivation, Chazal could have a motivation for something. So then it depends. Again, we don't know for sure because they weren't clear. We only can look now and see what, based on what we do today, we can figure out whether it was, or sometimes we can. So Chazaras Hashatz was definitely introduced. The motivation was clearly for the Eino Baki. So one could debate, if you assume it was just a minute, so maybe we can get rid of Chazaras Hashatz today. That was the question to the so the Rambam's opinion was no, we still have to keep it for the Eino Baki. I mean, not because of the Eino Baki. We got to keep it because it was a takana. Once it's a takana, just like kiddush Leil Pesach. And others might say, well, clearly by kiddush in shul, people say it wasn't a takana. They argue on that Rambam. Maybe they argue on the Rambam. You know, maybe they just say it's only a minig to do Chazaras Hashatz versus a chiyuv. You know, the Gemara seemed to say it was a chiyuv anyway. So the bottom line is, we do Chazaras Hashatz. Let me just point out, we don't always do Chazaras Hashatz. When do we not do Chazaras Hashatz? That is correct. Tfilas Ma'ariv, we do not. Why didn't Chazal institute? Why was Ma'ariv discriminated against? How come Shacharis and Mincha and Musaf get a Chazaras Hashatz, but Ma'ariv does not? Yeah, why?
Because
Mariv,
I think, it's not a
chiyuv.
It's just
that is correct.
Optional,
that is correct. So that's what the Rambam writes. I think others, because Tfilos Arvis Rishus.
Yes.
So Chazal never instituted Chazaras because if that makes sense, if the motivation for the Takana was for the Eino Baki, and then since the Eino Baki is not obligated to daven Ma'ariv, so that's the assumption is maybe he didn't show up to Shul for Ma'ariv. So therefore, there's no need to do a Chazaras Hashatz, hence it was never instituted. No one says it was instituted and got rid of it. It was never, that's why Ma'ariv is off for Chazaras Hashatz. I'll get into another. Perhaps maybe we do have it on some evening services. But then regarding Shacharis and Mincha, there's a further question we'll have to go into. When is there times when we don't have to do a Chazaras Hashatz?
Yes.
Like for Shacharis, or is there times where we don't? I'll just throw it out to you. We could go into it more next time. Is let's say the Chatzi Kedusha. Sometimes the shul, like you're running. Let's assume, it's you're running late for Mincha, and you're not going to have time to finish Chazaras Hashatz by Shkia, so they'll do a Chatzi Kedusha, you won't be able to finish it. We could get into the Gedarim and when Chatzi Kedusha was set up. How do you do Chatzi Kedusha? What is the setup from my point of view, or not from the person davening, from the congregants? Well, how does it actually work? Because, how does it work, Chatzi Kedusha, etc.? That we could get into there. But from the Rambam here, it seems that it was a Takana Chazaras Hashatz. Based on this Rambam, then it's not negotiable under normal scenarios. You'll have to come up, like with Myra, it was never instituted. So you'll have to, it's only a Takana Durabanan, I'm assuming. So then, of course, you could say, under these situations, the rabbis never instituted Chazaras Hashatz. So obviously, it can't be a regular minyan. It can't be a regular minyan in Shul, because that's when they did set it up. However, if it's not a regular minyan, then we could discuss. Was Chazaras Hashatz, if you're davening, outside because you're on a trip, if you're davening somewhere, then we could get into the parameters of what is, where the Chazaras, but the fundamental Chazaras Hashatz applies, and we'll have to discuss how far we take it. And perhaps maybe are there times, if the whole reason I don't daven Ma'ariv, if the whole reason I don't do Chazaras Hashatz at Ma'ariv is because it's a Rishus, if I could come up with a scenario where Ma'ariv is a Chova, then maybe I should do Chazaras Hashatz. So we'll have to see. A lot of questions that have to be resolved.
Yes.
You follow or not?
Yes.
Any...